Hi. Hi there.
Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. Judy, long time no see.
Right. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Judy Nathans.
And Robert Winters here.
Yeah.
So today's February 11th.
Yes.
You know, happy pre-Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So we're sort of back in the swing of things. I think today is in New Hampshire.
It's going on as we speak.
As much as I dislike all the presidential politics, you can't look away.
Right.
Seriously, right?
Right. It's a primary, but... So did the same day registration applies to the primary too? We're just talking about that, so it's an interesting subject.
I think it would have to, yeah.
Yeah.
I think,
so that would be interesting.
I mean, and I actually, since we were just talking about that, you know, I mean, I'm not opposed to same day registration by any means.
Isn't there a bill?
There is one that's been about before the Massachusetts state legislature, and perhaps it will pass. My concern really about the things like that is just how much of a burden does it put on day-to-day
election
workers?
And how prepared are they to do the right thing?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I know, I was just mentioning there was a person I know down in a town south of Boston where voters were basically saying, well, what do you mean I'm not registered? And they kind of tried to make the case, and they basically said, oh, okay, well, you can fill out this provisional ballot and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And then they promptly passed it right through the machine scanner and recorded it, so you could never take it out. So the thing is that even if it was determined that, in fact, the voter was not legally registered, it wouldn't have mattered. The vote was already recorded.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I don't know how widespread
any
problems would seriously
people
be.
People really wanting to vote, although I guess if you're trying to cheat, but how many times can you cheat? Once? Twice, that's it, right? I mean, you can't keep going to different polling places. Is there any? That's interesting. Could you go to different wards?
I try and make a practice of looking carefully at the voter list.
Yeah.
And making sure I don't shave for weeks and weeks, and then come in the morning, and I vote as a guy named Billy. You know.
Okay,
and
but
then
your name has to be on the list.
And then,
so
or
you couldn't go
name.
To more than one, but some. So you have to just figure out who.
Yeah, listen,
I think it's a lot of work, and people just don't do that.
You know, I, you know, foolish as it may seem, I still sort of believe in trust.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that elections do have an element of trust. If you go in and say, "My name is so and so, I live over 366 Broadway," they go, "Thank you," and they cross it out. And they might know you, they might not know you. But the thing is.
But if you have the picture ID, like in Indiana where the nuns were refused, even though they had been voting there for years.
Yeah.
That was in 08 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things happen.
I mean, but, I wonder if we actually have any instance. I should probably ask about this, where somebody shows up to vote, and then they say name and address, they go to the, and they go, well, you've already voted. And they go, no, I haven't.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because somebody voted under your name. I don't know if I've ever heard of that happening. But
you'd have to look at the obituaries and see who is dead that maybe got taken off the list and then go for them. That could happen.
The wise illegal voter
would
research it first to make sure that...
But it's just one vote.
Because they're a person who basically never votes. So if you must cheat, you really should do it well.
Right.
That's why
I think I think the problems happen not at the voter to casting their ballot, but after that. Like either ballot box stuffing or incorrect. I mean, weren't there like
historically,
votes that had been found in a box somewhere? I mean, that to me is where the problems
lie. And that's how Lyndon Baines Johnson won his first election in Texas. And I believe some have argued. Yeah. Yeah, because it was first done to him. And then he learned from that.
You better do it back.
And then basically you do it back. So, there were some reports about, I think, John F. Kennedy in 1960 winning Illinois based on some mysterious ballot box that showed up from some place which was like unanimously for Kennedy.
It's funny, there's a show that was called The Good Wife, and it had a whole series of shows on ballot stuffing from the Democratic Party. and also The Daily, was that Mayor Daley back then?
That's right. I will deliver Chicago. I will deliver Cook County.
So there's a lot of corruption there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's more difficult to do now. But,
true.
You know,
well, especially if you have paper backup, but not a lot of places do.
Right, but I think you could. There are ways of cheating elections still. I just think it's you have to be. It's probably even if there is any at all, it's done at a very small scale. Like somebody, you know, a few people went and cheated here and there. Yeah, it's not like you're putting in, oh, look, 1,000 yeah. extra ballots showed
right,
up for
yeah.
Joe Smith.
And
right?
that has nothing to do with the individual, it's to do with some other shenanigans. So it's just,
you know,
like,
it has to do with big, yeah. powerful political machines
exactly.
who are in positions where they can
right.
do it. You know,
right.
we don't
and
really
vulnerable
have...
election bodies that oftentimes they're just volunteers or they're not paid or they're, every jurisdiction's different, right? I
right.
mean, every,
there really is, so, and you know, there are some people who really strongly believe there ought to be absolutely uniform federal standards, hardware entering across
hey,
the country.
Residential, yeah.
You know, but the thing is, many people argue that, you know, that states should have a lot of a control over what kind
of
elections.
But not on a presidential election.
You know, I'll actually agree with you on that.
Because,
that,
you know, the whole thing with the Chads and that butterfly ballot in Florida,
yeah.
think of what would have happened if we'd had one standard way of presenting
it. I agree. But
we'd have Gore, we might not have had an Iraq war,
know, the,
we wouldn't have had Bush,
I agree,
we wouldn't have had 9/11.
The difficulty with that, though, is that
yeah.
you, every municipality, every
yeah.
county, every
yeah.
place uses
yeah.
the same machines. For all elections, local elections, state elections, presidential
elections,
whatever.
So you'd have to standardize the machines.
So if you're saying, well, we must have a single standard for presidential elections, chances are you're then saying we must have a single standard for all elections.
And then the machines
yeah.
are all private vendors, it's all profit. Oh,
yeah,
gosh, what a
you
mess.
Know, and, you know, that's a business.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, the reason why we had all these big fiascos about whether there's auditable paper trails and,
yeah.
you know, they had touch screen voting in
yeah, without
places.
Any paper,
without any
that's
real
bad.
Record, and
that's
you could,
bad.
You could
haven't
cheat
they
them
got rid of those?
Pretty much, but
yeah.
the reason why that proliferated as madly as it did at one
yeah.
time, not so much now, but
yeah.
was actually because of the state of California.
Uh-oh.
This I got from an election vendor.
Uh-huh.
The thing is it was such a big market.
Right.
There's so many elections and
right.
so many languages.
Right.
And California is the king of referenda.
True.
So the thing is that every election in California had, you know, a whole bunch of Proposition 243.
Oh, once I think they had like 3 pages. Of
right,
that,
three
yeah.
pages of them here. And the thing
yeah.
is now you have to produce those mm-hmm. all in 27 languages and every city and town is different. So they
so,
said, well, we'll find a better way to do this. So
yeah.
the touchscreen notion that you just walk up.
Yeah.
You don't have to print a bazillion ballots.
True.
But you just basically pick your language and then it gives you your ballot
but
in
can't
your
you
language.
Still have some kind of backup to that, though? Couldn't you still
you really
theoretically
should.
Have some
yeah.
kind, even if it's just dots or something? I don't know.
You
well,
should have
knows.
Something, but you know,
yeah.
but that. But I'm just saying, that's the reason why touchscreen voting
okay.
proliferated.
So how
it
did
is,
it change then? Is California now producing
well, you know,
reams of paper?
Well, yeah, and
oh.
in fact, that's the funny thing is that once all these
wow.
issues about potential voter fraud or lack
yeah.
of auditable paper trails and whatever
yeah.
happened. California, which is really where what led the market,
yeah.
and of course, once the vendors start producing machines that
everybody,
can do that, they
right.
try and sell it
to
everybody.
Everybody else, yeah.
So other states are adopting it in the Carolinas and
oh,
elsewhere,
yeah.
And then meanwhile, California turns around and says, "We can't trust this. No more of this."
So now the trend is back.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
You know. So it is kind of a business. It's not.
Well, that you know,
and
in
maybe,
some ways,
maybe uniform standards would help that.
Maybe, and it should be a uniform, do we have such thing as a uniform federal vendor?
There
well, I guess
are,
you have to bid on that, but isn't that where you bid
we
on
don't,
it?
We don't, but
yeah.
what we do have is a reality that there's a very small number of vendors
that
who actually
this.
Produce this. It used to be Diebold, which
right.
now has a different name, you know, because they also did, you
cash,
know,
cash
ATMs and
ATMs,
cash registers,
right.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's been spun off, and I should remember the name, and I'm just forgetting it. We
hmm.
have, I forget the name
so
of the
company.
So
they're not
that
many
us.
Is what you're saying.
There's not that many, so
hmm.
there's sort of a uniformity simply out of scarcity.
But
so,
it should be, I mean, I guess the military, well, who knows, it's all corrupt. I don't know.
Right. So
I'm not saying the elections are corrupt, because I think they're incompetent. I don't think it's necessarily corruption. I think it's incompetence.
You know, there was a phrase, I'll paraphrase, I'm sure, and
yeah.
say that don't ascribe to corruption
mm-hmm.
what can better be understood as ignorance.
Oh,
words,
I like that.
So,
you don't, who
so
said that?
I did.
Well, I want that written
but
down.
But I took
that's,
it from somewhere.
That's good.
No, the thing is, it's very easy to point a finger
right.
and say, you did this, you
yeah.
evil
or
so-and-so.
Or conspiracy, because I know I'm big on conspiracy
yeah.
theory. Same thing. I think
but
it's more like a
more often it's somebody
of
just
steps
didn't know what they were doing
right, exactly.
and they screwed up and whatever.
We
so
give
it,
credit
you
know. Too much to some people.
I know.
Dumb.
I know. It's really true. Yes. Anyway, speaking of elections...
Yeah.
As I've said before here.
When is if you
tomorrow
have not registered.
Is voter registration right. deadline.
Can you still register online by tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You can do that. You can
so
register
you hear that?
Online.
You do have
just
to,
like
I think,
the,
have a
just
driver's
like Bill,
license.
Just like Bill Galvin says in the commercial.
But you have to have a driver's license or something
that's
equivalent
true.
To that.
That's true.
I don't know what equivalent is. But
yeah, yeah.
So
but
do
I think,
register.
But the thing is, if you register, then the verification of your registration may
still
not be instantaneous. So
no, but neither is the
but you better provide
election's
the documentation.
Not till March 3rd.
Early
like
voting,
Tuesday.
February 24th to 28th.
Right. So you may not be able
and
to early vote
primary
if you
March 3rd. Yeah, see me.
Yeah.
See you at the polls.
Right, there's early voting. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'll wait. I don't like early voting. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's some stuff with elections. Actually, speaking of elections, since you mentioned right before the show, one of our elected officials, I mean, Massachusetts is known for hysterically non-competitive elections, at least eastern Massachusetts.
They're all Democrats.
Boston area.
Right,
they are.
Yeah.
They typically are. Yeah. The Republicans might as well just stay home and eat a sandwich. The Democrats show up, they run unopposed or opposed by
hamsters. Recently we had
Diana
Presley.
Right, so that was a serious competitive election.
Right. And I think those things are happening because you're going to have
Markey
with the
There is an uptick. But the thing is that it is so unfamiliar to have a Democratic candidate actually have a challenger in a primary.
That's
it's the exception, really. It's not the rule.
So what's going on?
So up in the North Cambridge area, we have Representative Hecht.
Jonathan
Hecht put out a email message yesterday. I got saying, I just want to let everybody know I'm not going to be seeking re-election.
Mm-hmm. He's been there since he's at 209.
Yeah. And I think actually there was a Somerville representative as well. Forgetting your name now.
Not Jalen.
She's still running, but it was, I'm so embarrassed I forgot her name. But, you know, one of the
long-term
Somerville reps is not running, seeking re-election as well.
Oh.
So Jonathan Hecht is not going to run for the state rep seat up in North Cambridge, but I believe Jennifer Fries, F-R-I-E-S, formerly associated with the Cambridge School Volunteers, is an announced candidate, I believe, for that seat.
And it has been announced? Is that part
I believe so.
I see.
Well, certainly you can look it up on the Office of Campaign Political Finance.
No, but I'm just saying his decision came after he knew that he'd have a challenge?
I don't know if that's part of the logic, but
the
thing is there is a little bit of a history in Massachusetts when if somebody's going, I'll run it as long as nobody opposes me, but then if I got to do it, then I got to actually have a real campaign or whatever. Ah, screw it. I'm out of here.
Hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily what's going on. But but once again, we may have a... I mean, maybe there'll be other candidates as well.
But there would be a Republican challenger too, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, really?
There are a lot of districts where there's absolutely no challenger at all.
Hmm.
I think that's a terrible reality, you know.
Well,
especially since Massachusetts used to have one of the most progressive Republican parties in the country.
Yeah.
You know, that there really should be.
Well, it's the old-fashioned Republican, like the Frank Sorrentino.
We always call them the bow-tie Republicans.
I voted for many of them. I voted for, was it Frank? Who was the other one that was a... ran against King.
Ed King was the Republican who
pushed he was a Democrat.
The caucus. Oh, that's right. And I think that's right,
And then whoever ran against him, I voted for. And then Sargent, but there was another
Frank Sargent. So, so anyway, there was a pretty long and pretty respectable history of Republican statesmen from Massachusetts.
Yankee type Republicans.
Yeah, old-style Yankees.
Weld. Oh, Weld.
And
voted
Bill
for
Weld.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Bill Weld.
Okay.
You know, and it wasn't just Massachusetts. I think some other New England states were like that.
We actually vote a lot of Republican governors. Because we have an all-Democratic Congress.
I think that's part of the logic, but I think the other truth is that the predominant party registration in Massachusetts is not registered.
It's independent.
It's not affiliated.
Right.
So,
unenrolled, independent.
Unenrolled.
Right, they call them different things.
So,
you're right. Which
yeah.
is the trend across the country, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which is why the
So whenever I look and I see those unenrolled voters, I say, well, some of those things, those people would probably have been registered Republican. In a different era, you know, and they do come out when there's gubernatorial elections and things, and they express themselves, and they, I mean, what did Charlie Baker win by this past year? It was ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, I used to be unenrolled. I used to always change it back because I think I was voting for Republican governors, but then I just have stayed Democrat.
Anyway,
That's for primaries, because you don't have to declare yourself.
My personal feeling is that a lot of political systems in this country are really broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that goes especially for presidential nominating mechanisms.
Mm.
I've pointed out many times.
Yeah.
Caucuses are ridiculous.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I've pointed out to many people in 2016, there were 17 people in the Republican clown car running to be
right.
president.
Yep.
The person with the highest unfavorability ratings was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He ended up as the nominee.
And so there go the polls.
So, right. you know, if you had some kind of more of an approval voting mm-hmm. mechanism or ranked choice voting, or God forbid, please don't do winner take all elections anymore.
Where
all you've got to do is be the guy who can, or gal who can get, you know, 21% of the vote with everybody else getting 14%.
Well, isn't that what's going to happen now with the Democrats, too?
No,
there's
Democrats
not going to be
don't,
ranked choice?
They do have, I think, four states that actually chose to do ranked choice voting.
But not Massachusetts?
States, not Massachusetts.
Well, there you go. That's going to be
right.
a problem.
Right. So the thing is that, you know, but we still allocate to people. I think it's a 15% threshold. So if as long as you get a certain percentage, or maybe, I think it's 50, it could be your top X
yeah.
number of candidates,
yeah.
and then they allocate the delegates accordingly. So in Massachusetts, it's not like one person's going to walk off with the prize, like
right.
happened with Republican
True.
Primaries.
Yeah.
Right? But the thing is, it's a hell of a way to run a railroad. It really
yeah.
is. And when you're electing the most powerful person in the earth
yeah.
Through a flawed mechanism,
yeah.
it's really depressing.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the way it is.
Do you think
know?
He would not have come out as the candidate, Trump, if that had been...
If there had been a mechanism
Rachel.
Where there
really?
Was... Which actually sought to intervene so that you didn't have vote
mm-hmm.
splitting. You know, I mean, I say it kind of very matter-of-factly.
Or no, winner take all. Because
yeah.
a lot of those primaries are winner take all.
I mean,
I
don't pull punches about any of this stuff. When
yeah.
When the first primaries are happening... In the Republican primaries in 2016, I said,
mm-hmm.
I don't know anything really about where any of these candidates stand on anything because I don't really pay much attention to them. But I'm going to tell you who the three top finishers are going to be. It's going to be the black guy,
mm.
the woman, and the TV guy.
Why did you say that?
Because there was one black candidate among 17 who was guaranteed to get a certain percentage of votes just by identity. There was
in
one,
the Republican Party?
In the Republican Party. Carson.
Yeah, but he was an idiot. Oh,
it didn't matter. The thing right. is that he was guaranteed to get at least some fraction, maybe 15%.
Who was Jeb Bush?
The problem then, he becomes just another white guy and a bunch of white guys, you know? So they spread those votes around. And
yeah, but you're making
it
like the Republicans were very concerned about diversity.
They weren't. They weren't.
I know, that's why...
Right, which is what's so bizarre and upside down.
They were the
down.
First to go, was Carson and Farina,
oh, it's true, because once you actually do well in early primaries, you're either going to take off because people start hopping on a bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
or people are going to start assaulting you to drive you into the dust.
She actually lasted longer than, I don't know, there was Rick Perry, Rubio, there was Bush, like, he got out really
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forget who else was in there.
Right.
But wow.
But we are all in agreement that the best man got the nomination, aren't we?
Oh,
so, but anyway, the point is it's a bit of a busted system. And if you think it's only busted nationally, you know, if everybody says you should vote, you should participate, and elections are important, whatever. But, you know, they're only as good as the mechanisms that are associated with them. You know, in Cambridge, we use ranked choice voting for municipal
mm-hmm.
elections.
Mm-hmm.
That seeks to achieve certain ends.
And there's also
you
bills
know.
To try to make ranked choice on the state, right?
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
There are.
So there's
and,
some good things happening
and,
on
and
the state
hopefully
level.
There will be provisions that will
yeah.
allow simple modifications even to our systems to
right.
sort of make them so they're less prone toward recounts for the wrong reasons.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? Yeah, like in other words, that you wouldn't seek a recount simply for another roll of the dice, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm hopeful that we'll start be moving. We will be moving in better directions.
Mm.
I believe I know they have a sufficient number of signatures, and the ranked choice voting initiative
mm-hmm.
petition will be on the ballot next year.
Binding.
Actually, by next year I mean this year, right?
Non-binding or binding?
I believe it's binding.
Oh, good.
And I believe it will win.
Good.
You know, and
yeah, I think
and,
they have a lot of support.
I think you know. I think some of the people who are running that campaign are really good at running campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, it bugs me sometimes when I ask them questions to say, well, what is the provisions here call for, and they don't have answers. But they're really good at organizing big mass movement type campaigns and mobilization of voters. And so I'm pretty sure this will sell well. And the idea is actually selling on Main Street in a lot of places around the country.
It's not like asking people, do they have the right to die, you know, because that failed, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I voted for it, but...
You, as long as you don't sell ranked choice voting by basically saying, well, you know, we should be doing elections the way we used to do it with paper ballots in Cambridge, and it'd only take a week to get the results. That would not have been a great way to sell ranked choice voting. And that's really one of the initial reasons why we chose to seek computerization of the elections, because I was part of the people who were seeking
But how many municipalities, though, have the equipment that we have to do ranked choice voting?
We didn't, actually.
I know, but we also invested in that. Some of these communities don't have those kind of resources. They may not want that.
You know, the way it worked in... That's true. And the thing is, the way ranked choice voting implementation typically works in a lot of states in the country, and states vary by, you know, what does it take to be certified? So can you use this machine? What's legal? What's not legal? You can't just sort of say, well, we've decided to adopt ranked choice voting and we don't have any machinery for it, so what the hell?
So you have to have, you know, the equipment to be able to do that?
Yeah, so what people in some places like San Francisco and Minneapolis actually did is they actually put a provision into the law that says that you'll be able to rank X number of candidates up to the limitations of the voting hardware. So Sequoia machines, you could only vote, I believe, up to three rankings. So I think that's the way it was set up in San Francisco.
It's
better than nothing. Yeah. It's true. You know, but now
most people aren't going to put probably beyond their first choice, second, third anyway, right?
I think there is a necessary voter education campaign about encouraging people to vote deeper. Because otherwise there will be candidates say, you better not give anybody else a vote because you don't want to hurt Jimmy.
Municipalities have what we have. We have so many, and we have a different kind of presentation.
But the thing is, when we implemented computerized elections in Cambridge, starting with the 1996, we did a primary before that with the same machinery, but we use AccuVote scanners, and what happened then, and what they call MarkSense ballots, basically like an SAT, and what happened back then that the machinery actually isn't designed for ranked choice voting. It basically looks at these things, counts the number of these totals, and it keeps a running total. So we had to have firmware especially made for the machines to adapt them so that they could, what we used to say was record whole ballot images, which does not mean pictures. It just means record all the rankings and just record them so they're not actually totally anything.
Right.
So all they're doing is saying this person voted for blah, 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 blah. This person voted for blah, 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 blah. You know, and
then what do you do with
and then
that
you get a, you end up with a big fat text file ultimately after you run it through the processor.
Wow.
And then that's what we feed into the tabulation software to actually run the elections.
Oh my goodness.
The machines had only a relatively small amount of memory, 128 kilobytes. Pardon me if I'm getting technical here. But it only had a limited amount of memory because it never needed amount of memory if all it was doing was adding one and getting totals every time.
Right, so now it needed more memory.
It had acres of additional memory it never needed then. But when you started recording whole ballots, we actually blew out the memory cards elections.
Well, didn't we do that in the last one?
Not the most recent
ones.
No,
the one before
but,
that.
That was a failure of the
old
20-plus-year-old cards.
Okay.
That just were no longer working.
I see.
They have little batteries on board, and they just failed.
Okay, all right.
But the thing is, in one of the earliest implementations, there were two of the biggest precincts where we actually filled up the memory, and it zeroed out. So then they had to rescan everything with using multiple machines.
Speaking of machines,
the new machines are great. They're wonderful. Okay. They do it, but they were the original ones were never designed for ranked choice balloting elections. New machines, I think, are the vendors. If they're smart, they are getting them ready so that they are capable. Because if a lot of people start, a lot of municipalities start adopting, and whole states start adopting ranked choice voting, and then all you're selling is machines that can't handle it, then you lose your customers.
Right, so you better get on
board. So if you're not making them ranked choice voting
capable... They better
have
good marketing people in their companies.
Yeah, it's really true.
Speaking of machines and memory and all that, do you know anything about, she was cut off, but the public commenter on the artificial intelligence and it's like a manifesto about it. Did you see that?
You know, actually, I think I read a little bit of that.
I started reading it. I said, wait a minute, it's going on
this
and on.
This is city
and
council
on.
Meeting last
yeah,
night, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the issue was with that.
It was about cyber security of AI, but it was written in a way, I have to say, I've seen this.
I took a glance at this like missive that was in there, and I said, my God, this is like somebody wrote
a
book.
And she immediately... Well, it wasn't on the agenda, so Sumble was immediately kind of cut it off, but... So then I went to look at the... you can't talk on communications.
That
was
the problem.
That's the problem. And it was her communication.
Yeah, so it actually was in the
But it was all handwritten
yep.
and went like...
And it went on forever, yeah.
So anyway, I just...
I don't know. You know, I looked at it and said, well, this looks interesting. And I said, no time. Too busy.
I've seen things written by people that had some kind of... I won't go further than that. It did. I was saying, actually.
So anyway, plenty of things happen. We'll certainly talk about over the next hour. But one thing maybe
you
could just say kind of quickly is that, to nobody's surprise, the tree protection ordinance
got extended.
Really, we should really call it the current moratorium on tree cutting, which was set to expire within a month, is
in March. Right?
They extended that
to the end
of the year or until they come up with the final version.
Well, they're still made with the urban. Master Task Force.
Yeah, so there's stuff. These recommendations from the Urban Forest Master Plan Task Force.
I haven't read it. You?
And I haven't read it either. But, you know, hope springs eternal this
year.
So there's these recommendations from the Urban Forest Master Plan Task Force.
I haven't read it. You?
And I haven't read it either. But, you know, hope springs eternal that, in fact, they will hash out something that allows enough flexibility for reasonable people.
Right, like old Peter Cohn, I think that's his name, who gave public comment was
I mean, just for, if you're a long-time property owner, especially if it's the trees you planted and took care of.
And you're going to replace maybe a tree with four trees, and it's your property,
and
you want to do solar.
You
want
to do it a certain way. So you shouldn't have to basically have the city just sort of say, I'm sorry, we're in control of your property.
Right.
Property owners do deserve at least some control of their own properties, for goodness sake.
All
hopefully they can work that out. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see you in the next segment.